Welcome to Outspoken, a storytelling event in which all speakers identify as LGBTQ. The story you are about to hear was recorded live in front of a storytelling audience at Sidetrack in Chicago. Outspoken. Retell. Relive. Relate. Now, here's our story.
Come on up to your stage, Art.
It began with a phone call, as so many things do. I was sitting at my makeshift desk, writing checks in my tiny so-called office above the entry to Sidetrack, which was one room and 800 square feet. That, by the way, if you look at this beam in the ceiling, the original Sidetrack was that beam to that wall. Bill Williams, the editor of Windy City Times, was calling. He asked if I had been following the ongoing news stories about the efforts to pass a gay rights law for Chicago. I said I had. He said, then you know there may actually be a vote coming up in the city council next month, meaning July 1986. Yes, I have read that, I said. What you may not know, said Bill, is that the planners are proposing a rally downtown on the Sunday before the vote to get people fired up. And they are considering a proposal to ask the bars to close that evening. Art, what do you think of that? The rally could be a good idea, but trying to close the bars is definitely not. Well then, said Bill, I suggest you get yourself to the planning meeting tomorrow night. So at 6:30 the next day, I showed up at the Wellington Church, right over here, 615 Wellington, where we've had so many meetings over so many years. I took a seat among the 10 or so people, including some I'd been reading about but had never met, including Rick Garcia and Lori Dittman. In fact, I didn't know anyone there. None of them came from the activism I had known, activism by bar people, since our Anita Bryant protests in 1975. Remember, by the way, her cause was called Save Our Children. The predominant notion in the 70s was that all gay people were child molesters. After a series of reports on progress of wording of the proposed ordinance and various upcoming committee hearings, the moderator opened discussion on the proposed rally and asked for comments about the only proposal they had for getting people to the rally, asking the bars to close. When my turn came, I asked, why do you think that folks who would ordinarily go to a bar on a Sunday evening would go downtown to a demonstration instead? It's just not a good idea. It just won't work. And besides, since whatever activism has existed up to now has been financed by bars and bar owners, and even if this is a brand new day that I've been reading about of grassroots activism, why would you want to piss off the only funders we have ever had? Fine, said the moderator. And he asked a question I was totally unprepared for. Fine, Art, you have successfully killed that idea. So how do you suggest we get people to the rally? More silence. Everyone looking at me. And then, much to my own surprise, I started talking. I should never be surprised because I talk too much. I started with an idea that must have come from some deep, unconscious place in my mind. or more likely straight out of my ass. Leave the bars open, I said. Ask the bar owners to fund buses, which will pick up people at the bars, take them at no charge downtown to Daly Plaza, and afterward bring them back to the same bars where folks may want to stay, have a conversation, and maybe even buy a drink. More silence. Then from the moderator, great idea, Art. So you're in charge of renting buses. You're in charge of renting buses and raising money. Okay, everyone, on to our next agenda item. And in my head, I heard another, even louder voice. Holy shit, what have you done? Followed by a slightly quieter voice. So, Big Mouth, so when did you know anything about buses or raising money? I didn't sleep that night or the next two nights. Each day I came early to the bar, long before any staff or customers. I climbed, we had a little ship's ladder, up through a trap door into my tiny attic office. I sat at the desk. I opened up the Chicago Magazine to the listing of bars and their phone numbers. And I stared at the pages for hours, trying to force myself to make my first ever fundraising call. You know, bar owners didn't all know each other. It was not as though I knew most of these people, and I'm not sure that would have helped anyway. And each day, I just couldn't do it. I finally got the nerve to call Chuck Rodiker, then as now, the owner of Touche. We had known Chuck for years. He had even loaned us beer on the opening night of Sidetrack, April 22nd, 1982, when we had run out of almost everything. Chuck listened and immediately said, sure, it's a great idea, and committed $200. I couldn't believe it. I was finally on the way. I got into it. And I was surprised how easy the job actually became. I called bar after bar, spoke to owners I had never met. We raised enough money to fund buses to pick up folks attending the Sunday night religious groups as well, from Dignity to Integrity. I wanted to make bar support unanimous, so for those three bars who were struggling to pay the rent, I made sure there was a donation in their name. As for the buses, I found out that you could rent CTA buses, and in a flash of inspiration, realized it could mean something to our mostly unwelcome minority to travel to the heart of Chicago, to a downtown square with the iconic name Daly Plaza, on Chicago Transit Authority buses. I realized this could be important symbolism because, as my friend Victor Salvo, whom I referred to earlier, always said, because it's our city too. But all those buses, I fell in love with those buses. They took on so much meaning. I was so proud of them. That Sunday finally arrived. The weather was perfect. Everything went off without a hitch. The buses picked up their passengers at bars and churches and headed full toward Daly Plaza. I remember that the Gay Men's Chorus was on my bus, and as we crossed the Chicago River, they launched into Everything Is Coming Up Roses. So, there was no question these were gay buses. On other buses, passengers were experiencing, for the first time in their lives a public transit ride where they were not in the minority. This wagon train of Chicago Transit Authority buses surrounded Dealey Plaza, and the moment was truly magic when 1,000 rally goers poured out of the buses, filled that square, and made it for one evening our own. The lighting and sound systems worked. The speakers were inspirational. The crowd was fired up. I spoke to the crowd. I became as emotional as they were as I named all the bars who were supporting this new day, this new hope, this excitement about our possible future. Frankly, I was totally carried away by the moment, by the success of the rally, by the possibility that we, our community as I know it, could one day live openly in Chicago without fear of being fired or denied an apartment just because we were who we were. Damn, it was thrilling. And just then, just when I came off stage and was getting congratulations and slaps on the back, just then, I heard a voice behind me. A voice I knew well. The voice of the man I loved and with whom I had been sharing a life since 1973. The voice of Pepe Peña. And that voice said something that would haunt me every day for the rest of my life. That voice said, "In Cuba, we don't rent buses, we burn buses." Those words also taught me. They taught me perspective. They reminded me about humility. As I later realized, even though hundreds of thousands of lives would be improved when this gay rights law was finally passed 2 years later, reminded me there would always be more work to do, more matches to light. There would be fires of protest we would need to burn bright, flames we would need to fan to bring light and warmth to the dark, cold days that were yet to come, especially when we had to confront AIDS. But that's a story for another day. In fact, it's a lot of stories for another day. As for today, I am so fortunate to have still in my life the best Cuban arsonist in all of Chicago. Thank you.
This has been Outspoken. Outspoken is curated by David Fink and is hosted by Kim L. Hunt and Art Johnston. Audio production is by Ray Teresi. Music by Josh McLean. General manager of Sidetrack is me, Brad Bailoff. Outspoken is a storytelling event with speakers from the LGBTQ community and is recorded live in front of an audience at the legendary Sidetrack in Boys Town of Chicago. To find out more about Outspoken, go to SidetrackChicago.com. Outspoken. Retell. Relive. Relate. Thank you for listening.